This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 340 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me from Melbourne via Skype, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay, Bruce. It's a bit chilly down here today, mate.
Is it?
They reckon it's the coldest winter snap in 30 years.
Wow.
And the heater decided to stop working for the first time in 20 years.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's timing, isn't it, hey?
That's just cruel.
Can you believe 20 years, flawless performance.
On all the days you didn't need it.
The coldest day since the thing was built. It decides to stop working.
Wow.
So I'm coming to you tonight from, I'm normally in my bedroom.
Yeah.
When we chat tonight, I'm in bed. So it's maybe a little more intimate than we need to know, but right. It's a bit chilly.
Yeah, it's been cool up here, but I'm sure it's a lot colder where you are.
Well, surprisingly, I've been following a friend of mine who lives in Hobart, great photographer, lives in Hobart, and he's been doing live weather forecasts because they were waiting for Snowmageddon to hit.
Right.
And I'm checking their temperature. They're 5 or 6 degrees warmer than we were.
What?
Yeah, they're much, much further south, yeah. So we were at zero when they were at 5.6.
What? This was Hobart?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So we had snow all over the place, and theirs hadn't even hit yet.
Wow.
We had so much snow. We had snow down to 300 metres, so down to about 1,000 feet.
Whoa. That's insane.
So I pulled the kids out of school for the day, didn't I?
Of course.
Parent of the year. Let's not go to school today. Let's go play in the snow. Because Daddy wants the A, an excuse, and B, someone to play with.
Yeah, nice.
So the kids are very sick today and couldn't go to school.
Of course.
So we're driving along, and my eldest daughter goes, it's not good to lie, is it, Dad? I've gone, no. Because you lied today, though, didn't you, Dad? I said, how do you mean? She goes, you told school a lie, didn't you? I said, yeah, but that's a different kind of lie, kid.
Before you go any further, can you kick those cats out of the room?
Hear the little bells?
I can hear bells. I'm thinking it's Christmas.
I do have Christmas carols on in the background.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I just have to get up. Hang on a second. Hang on. Sorry, putty cat.
For the rest of the podcast, they'll be outside the door going, meow, meow.
It's a lovely day for a sleigh ride together today. Oh,
get back in bed. Oh, dear. Your phone's back in. Hang on. Almost there. All right, I'm back.
Excellent.
Right.
I was just saying to the listeners that we'll probably have for the rest of the podcast the cats in the background going, meow.
Yeah, I can't get in the door. Can't get in the door.
There's some wood in the hole. Come and move it, Dad.
Damn things. So we had a good old day out in the snow, and I took my big camera with me, of course, the iPhone.
Right.
And I loved it.
What's the shutter count up to on that thing?
I don't know, but the one folder's got about 8,000 photos in it. That's been cleaned out about 5 times. So
really?
At least up to about 40,000 at least. You know?
Wow.
But I did a nice-ish little panorama with it.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I'm going to pull up the link to the photos.
Oh, yes, I saw that photo.
Yeah, just a little shack out in the bush with a bit of snow on it. It was rather pleasant. But so we had a good time and plotting around. There was snow for as far as the eye could see, which was rather good. And kids had a ball. It was the most snow they've ever seen. So
yeah, right.
We had a ball.
Excellent.
And then back to reality for them tomorrow. They've got to get back to school.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. I've just put this photograph onto the link sent to you.
Skype chat.
Yeah, Skype chat. And it comes up saying, uploads vanaf je telefoon. So it says it's an upload. It looks like, I don't know, Afrikaans or something.
Right.
So I think my language settings may be wrong for Skype.
How just bizarre.
It's hazarding a guess, yeah.
Right.
So how was your holiday, my friend? Did you have a good time?
Mate, it was good. It was really good.
I think one person missed us.
Well, there were a few people who said enjoy the breaks.
Yeah, I think that means please stay away. Yeah, that's not saying they were missing us. It's like,
yeah. So that it was nice. It was really nice. The cottage we stayed in was like I said, about 90 or 100 years old, with these massive, 10-foot ceilings, and all the furniture in the place I reckon dated from like the '30s and the '40s.
Yeah.
I reckon the woman who owns the place must have spent years and years and years collecting all of this furniture. Yeah. Either that or it's all been handed down to her from, grandparents or whatever. But it was great. And it was about 300 metres to this little beach. And, there was a big, the main beach, which ran from Arakoon, which is where we were staying, round to Southwest Rocks, was about 2.8k, I think it was, in each direction, and it was off-leash dog friendly, so we could walk into Southwest Rocks along the beach with the dog, grab a coffee, grab some lunch, whatever, and then walk back. So we all got plenty of walking done for the week, which was great.
Nice, dude.
Did some photography. Max took his push bike.
Let's just go back one bit. You did some what?
Did some photography, actually got the camera
and,
out of the bag.
How do we go? Let's talk photography.
I think I did all right. I think I did all right.
And?
I'm sure
where are they?
I'm sure you'll...
I saw some plants shot on... Oh, God, I can't quite talk about landscape stuff.
Landscape stuff. So that was a very deliberate attempt on my part to try and meet your criteria of, try and shoot photos a little differently. Well, the idea of, shooting a landscape but choosing a very prominent foreground interest that was floral in nature and, yeah. So I don't know whether that, satisfied
you. You did some star trails, did you?
I did some star trails and some Milky Way stuff. And I thought that my 180-degree overhead panorama was a little bit outside of the norm in terms of presentation, because I had... landmass at the top and the bottom of the image.
Oh, I see that there.
Yeah, so...
It's very different, isn't it?
That's something a bit different.
Yeah, it doesn't work, but it's very different.
And that was simply a case of, by the time it got dark enough, the Milky Way, or the centre of the Milky Way galaxy, had moved, too far up in the sky to do the traditional sort of, rainbow shape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I had to think, okay, well, how can I present this? So I thought, oh, let's just try a whole 180-degree, over-the-top pano, and, it'll look weird because you'll have landmass at either end, but what the hell?
Is that one shot, multiple shots?
Yeah, so that's probably 8 or 9 images stitched together.
And how much post bring out that sort of Milky Way effect?
Oh, a moderate amount, but not a massive amount.
Okay, that's good.
So
I can't do that stuff, so I'm curious.
Basically what I did was when it came to stitching that, I didn't bother letting Photoshop do the stitching for me.
Yeah.
I just manually placed the images myself. And the way I did that was I exported all the RAWs out as TIFF files, 16-bit TIFFs, into a temporary folder, then brought those into Photoshop, created a nice long canvas, like a tall, thin canvas, dragged the images onto there as separate layers, and then what I would do is set the base layer down at the bottom of the canvas, and then the image that was going to go next...
The base is usually good at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, but base in terms of layers as well.
Oh,
so,
saying, yeah.
So, and then the second layer, what I did was it reduced its opacity to about 30 or 40%. And then as I dragged it over the top of the other one, I could see where the clusters and the cloudiness kind of matched up, and just manually placed them that way. And then once I'd got it in place, then set that layer back to 100%. And then I do the same with the
one suggestion to kind of help make that easier is to invert them all too, so they go to negative.
Oh, yeah.
So your white stars become black dots.
That's a good idea.
It's just a little bit easier to line them up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I just thought of it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
just make it that a little bit simpler. Okay, cool. Well,
the only thing, though, you'd still need to reduce the opacity in order to see through to the layer below.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Just be easy to line up a black dot
right
against a black dot, then a white dot and a white dot and a reduced opacity. Yeah, it's just a little bit easier. I imagine for my way of visualizing things.
Yeah,
I think that would be an easier process, but I could be completely wrong. But
well, I've not tried that, so I'll maybe dig that out and give it a go. Okay. And
even if you just do two images, rather than do the whole thing, just as a test,
yeah,
to see how it goes at lining up, it might be a beneficial thing.
Yeah.
And then what, you like a contrasts and highlights and shadows?
Yeah,
and
so a bit of vibrance to bring out some of the colour, yeah. Some contrast to bring the cloudiness of the centre of the galaxy out of the black a little and to push the black back a bit and make it a bit more black. Because obviously that stuff, you're shooting at 3200 ISO, so it has a tendency to be a little bit noisy and grainy anyway, so... You know, sinking the blacks a bit further back doesn't hurt. And that was pretty much it. There really wasn't a lot I had to do.
Nice. Yeah.
And they were all shot at, I think, from memory, 3200 ISO, and they were all about, 30 seconds at f4.
So, nice work. Well done, you. Go ahead, taking some photos. Get up early in the morning and do some shots.
I did. Did the sunrise stuff. I got out there one morning. I actually went out for a couple of mornings, but... it was probably the first of the couple of mornings that I went out that I was happiest with.
Yeah.
So
nice. It was a good family time too.
It was a good week. Yeah. Hung around with Kath and Max and lots of walks and ate at lots of nice places and generally had a good time.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And then I went good out and did a shoot with a model today.
I just saw. I wasn't sure if that was like an old photo or
no. That was today.
Can I just say,
yep.
Looking at it, so I see the image on the back of the camera that you posted on Facebook.
Well, I didn't post it. The model posted it.
Yeah. Looking at the way it's composed and the way it's lit.
Yeah.
Awesome job, dude.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Looks really good.
Thank you. So this whole shoot only fell into place at like 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, because she's a 28-year-old mother of three, and she was waiting on a girlfriend of hers to come back to her and say, no, I haven't been booked for work tomorrow, and yes, I can look after your kids while you do a photo shoot. So that message came through, 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Yes, my girlfriend can babysit for me. And I said, okay, great. Well, I'll, come over there at midday and we'll work out when I get there what we're going to do, because we really hadn't decided what we were going to shoot. She's a makeup artist by trade. And so when we got there today, and because freezing cold, so neither of us really wanted to go outside and shoot. I said, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I'd love to get some more portfolio shots for my makeup portfolio. I went, okay, sweet. Okay. So we just worked within her house, just against some bare walls, and I'd taken plenty of lighting gear with me and whatnot, but that image there that you're seeing on Facebook is just natural light coming in on her right or camera left as you look at it.
I could tell that.
Yeah, so
lovely. That looks really nice. And there's one of her friends commenting on Facebook. She wants to have photos done like that. She lives in Sydney. She's a model as well. There you got your next customer.
Yeah, that's right.
Your next person to shoot. There's no excuse for not doing another shoot now. She wants stuff doing.
That's
there you
right.
go. No, it looks like a lovely shot. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the other stuff from it.
Okay. Cool. Well, look.
Just as an aside, because I've been told from time to time I can be a little bit critical.
No, I won't hear of it.
A little bit harsh.
I will not have people giving you a hard time like that.
But as I say to every customer at a workshop, if I say something nice, it's because I actually genuinely mean it.
Yeah, thank you, mate.
So take it. Yeah, not that my say be all or not means anything, but.
Yeah.
If I say it, it's because I truly, truly mean it. So,
well done.
It's nice.
Thank you.
I had a meet-up dinner with Mark Holman the other day.
Right.
And mate, Mike from
New
Zealand.
That's right. He was down in Tassie with his wife, Viv.
Yeah, and then he stopped into Melbourne for a few days. So me and the Trouble and Strife caught up with him for a couple of hours.
Fantastic.
Him and his wife, and had a lovely catch-up. And he just came from the New Zealand Professional Photography Awards where he won.
Oh, Mike, the award hog Holman.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah. Mike.
Grand Pooh Bah Holman. Yeah. He's got his grandmaster in photography, his black belt third Dan in photography. I think he won the 100-meter race for photography and the America's Cup of photography.
Right.
He won all those. Oh, and the World Cup photography. he's going for Olympic gold next, apparently.
Right.
This is his next goal. But well done. It was very, very, very cool. I was up in your neck of the woods the other day. I was up in Sydney.
I did see that.
Just for the day, as a meeting of all the Ellen Crumb ambassadors.
Yeah, nice.
Got myself a shirt. That was all right. Worth a trip.
Got the T-shirt, read the book, saw the movie.
Yep. Just got the T-shirt, didn't do the other two. But I did get a T-shirt, which is nice.
No, you'd never read the book, that's for bloody sure.
Settle. And now I took one photo that I like. I took a portrait of my lovely, soon-to-be 9-year-old daughter.
Yes.
The other day. So she's turning 9 this Saturday, so I had to try and get out there and get the last-minute photo before.
Yeah.
While she's in her eights.
Yeah.
And so she's been talking a lot this week, and this is a little thing I need some help from the listeners.
Oh, okay.
She's been talking a lot this last week or so about she wants to get into the family business.
Oh.
And she wants to start learning more about photography, and she wants me to start giving her some lessons and wow. start teaching some stuff, which, of course, is, not really a very good idea. Because apparently I can be a little bit critical when I'm teaching. it's like trying to teach a child to drive a car. It's probably not the best idea to just use your own ideas.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, does anyone have any tips? Anyone ever tried to teach a child photography? Has anyone seen any website resources that do good getting kids interested in learning about photography? I thought I'd throw it out there.
I'm just going to turn the clock back.
Yes.
About five years. When Max very, very briefly went through a phase of being interested in photography.
Yeah.
And me being the cold, straight, scientific, analytical type person that I am, completely bored him senseless in no time flat. And you turned around and said, make it fun.
Yeah, did I?
Yeah.
That's sage advice.
So try that.
Make it fun. So MIF, that's the MIF it. School of Photography.
That's it.
Make it fun.
Because you at the time were doing some crazy stuff with your kids at the time, as I recall.
Yeah, and so making it fun makes it, yeah. Well, so I said, part of the thing is I told her when she's older, she starts working for me, I'll pay her $100 a day. So I think she's all about the money now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Kids are all about the money.
She's in the ka-ching.
Yeah.
But if anyone's ever come across any good resources out there, I'd please put them onto the Facebook wall or send them via email to those morons at shutterzinkpodcast.com, I think, isn't it?
That's the one, the boys address. At shutterzinkpodcast.com.
That's it. So, yeah. I found one other thing this week, though, that I personal stuff,
yeah.
as opposed to stuff about photography.
Yeah.
Where was I? I was at some place.
That narrows it down.
It really was. And this guy showed me something that blew me away. It was a kid's birthday party on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I've heard of Google Translate for a while, yes. Google Translate. But I don't know if this is a new update or anything, but they've now got, you can now put a video camera mode and you aim your video camera, say, at a sign, and the sign translates instantly into whatever language you want using the same font that the sign's in.
What?
So the sign changes in front of your eyes on your phone.
No,
it's amazing. It's amazing, and it translates instantly. Well, give or take, instantly into another language. And you can aim it at like a Hindi sign. It translates to English. You can English to Hindi. You can go everything Chinese. And so you walk up to a street sign. It's in another language. You just aim your phone at it. It tells you in English if that's what you want.
That is going to be so helpful when I go to Europe next year.
It is amazing.
I'm going to be driving around with VR goggles strapped to my head. What could possibly go wrong?
That's like a foolproof plan to me, my friend.
Absolutely.
So Google Translate, it's just, I was talking to a friend of mine, another photographer, yesterday at school pickup, and she has Google Translate, and she tried to pull it, and her phone doesn't have the little video camera icon on her app yet, so maybe it's an update or something.
Yeah.
But I've downloaded it, starts working straight away. Unbelievable.
Wow.
So, for those travellers among us or...
Yeah. Well, Kath and I are going to Europe for 5 weeks in...
This is news.
July. Oh, yeah, it is. In July of next year.
Nice. Where's she going and where are you going?
We're going together.
Really?
So what happened was, you know that Kath and I have this routine where we do an international holiday one year, domestic holiday the next, right? So this year was a domestic holiday. We went up to Southwest Rocks, and next year was always going to be an international holiday. And we had planned on the three of us going to Vietnam.
Okay.
And then earlier this year, we were reminded, we had known about it for years but had forgotten, that next year when Max is in year 11, he has a 4-week school vacation / excursion type thing to France.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Because he's not studying French.
I was going to say, my kids' school does the same thing. They go to China.
Right.
So at least China kind of, you know, either learn Chinese in school and they're going to do a trading partner.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense.
You know? Well, some of the kids that are going are studying French.
Yeah.
But some of them are not. The school is actually running two different tours. One just goes to France. The other one does Germany, France, Italy. Cool. But Max decided he liked the France only itinerary more than the
mix.
Germany, France, Italy itinerary. And so we came away from the information night and I said to Kath, I said, hang on, I am not taking the three of us to Vietnam and then sending him to France for 4 weeks.
He doesn't get it that good.
No, that's right. So I said, Vietnam's off the table. He can go to France with the school excursion and you and I will go to Europe for 4 weeks by ourselves and have, you know, a month, you know, of just us touring together. So
awesome. You're going to go at the same time he's away?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So he'll fly out and we'll probably fly out a day later. And then what happens is
just to make sure he's really gone.
Yeah, that's right.
The plane doesn't turn back halfway.
he does his 4 weeks in France. And then at the end of their 4 weeks, they go over to London for about 48 hours, I think. And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to lease a car. And we're going to be traveling from Lisbon in Portugal through Spain, up through France, through Belgium, up to Rotterdam to see a girlfriend of Kath's. And then we'll get rid of the car there and then hop across to London. And then we'll meet up with Max. And then the three of us will fly home together and we'll stop at Phuket for 3 days to get over the jet lag. And then we'll come home.
Nice.
Yeah. So any European listeners?
You should go visit Milena.
I should.
Free accommodation, dude.
I think our itinerary is going to be pretty full anyway. So, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're leasing a car and we're going to drive ourselves. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
We should cover some stories.
What, should we?
Probably should.
If you insist. If you insist. I've got one thing. There's a couple of things down in mind. I think on Barbie photos.
Right.
This is behind the scenes of how they take photos of Barbie dolls for Barbie adverts and stuff, which I thought was a bit stupid. And the photos, it's a nothing kind of article. It's okay.
Yeah.
But I just loved one of the comments.
Right.
Just said, "Ah, oh, too much Photoshop. The skin looks plastic."
Boom, boom.
It was just too good to miss. So, hey, if you want to see how to add a photograph, and it's, you know, in all honesty, it's not such a stupid thing to go and practice photographing Barbie dolls.
No.
Because it does teach you lighting. So you can see how they do it. And if you want to practice lighting without having to have to talk to people, without having to have models in front of you, all that sort of stuff, all power to it. My father-in-law bought a mannequin to do that when he started out.
Yeah, right.
And kind of creepy, so, you know, 50-odd-year-old, 55-year-old man or something, you know, creeping around his lounge room with a mannequin. Kind of freaky.
Do you know what? Just looking at the photos on this article, I am kind of surprised to find that they were using physical backdrops.
Yeah.
And shooting shallow depth of field. I just imagine this stuff would have been composited on, you know, shot on a white background and then the background just
whatever they want afterwards,
painted in afterwards in Photoshop.
But nope, it's actually shot.
Wow.
The other article I want to talk about is a thing about Fibonacci, our famous Fibonacci swirl. And someone's now got this little wallet-sized Fibonacci viewfinder, see-through viewfinder, that you can look through and point at stuff in a scene.
What?
So you can line up stuff. So you're complying with the laws of photography and the rules and all the regulations. So you're not allowed to take a photograph that isn't in this particular sequence of paint by numbers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So if you want to suck all the life and soul out of your photography.
Yeah, here's the set here for you, and I hope you enjoy them. Yeah, you got your golden rectangle, your golden calf, your golden idol, your... Anyway, so I thought that was a bit of a laugh. I thought, can we complicate photography any further?
Yeah, exactly.
By making people take one of these things out there and do all that. But I did come across, for any people who like to use Instagram, a website called dhaze.co. Now, right. it's only in beta stage at the moment, but it shows some good promise.
Okay.
And the promise being that knowing how to tag photos well in Instagram is a big thing. Getting all the right tags, understanding which tags are going to give your photo the best chance of being seen. Well, on dhaze.co, said at the moment it's pretty still in beta, you basically can click the button that says, I took a photo in what sort of style and in what kind of region, and bang, it comes up with a whole range of...
of suggested tags.
Suggested tags. You just cut and paste if you want to and plonk it down there.
That is crazy.
It's so good, isn't it?
The world's gone mad.
Well, I think it's good. I mean, it's handy for me, who can't think of tags to put down.
Right.
Not imaginative enough. I thought that's kind of cool. I'm looking forward to seeing where it develops to.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty cool. And then I came across this video. Oh, so you're going to say?
I'm not sure how relevant all of the tags are, but it's a great concept.
Yeah, so it's in beta, so he's got some work to do.
Right.
And so, once again, if you're doing the beta, you can actually make suggestions to him to improve. No, I think there should be, I think as it gets used more, it's going to, the amount of style options, region options, concept, there'll be more options to choose from as far as what the photo's about, because it's a bit limited at the moment also.
The thing it doesn't seem to offer at this point, and this may be just because it's in beta, is it doesn't seem to offer the ability to enter your own, like to add to the database. Well,
you could still do that. Oh, yeah, but you could still do that on your photo, though.
Oh, okay, right.
If you had half a dozen that you would normally always add, like business name, blah, 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 whatever, you can still do that. Mind you, I've got to say, on my Instagram on my phone these days, I've got no tags. Normally it stores all the tags and just click, click, click.
Right.
They're just, I have to put my own name in. I've got to type my entire name in every time from now on.
Why?
I don't know. Some weird stuff's going on my Instagram, I tell you.
Right.
Everything's weird. But I thought that's something that showed a bit of promise.
Yeah, for sure.
A little bit of promise.
The name is really odd.
Yeah,
because I immediately think of the dehaze filter in Lightroom.
Exactly. That's one of the first suggestions I would have for him, is change
the name.
Hashtag me baby or something like that, you know? Hashtag-arama. Hashtag world.
Yeah.
Hashtag would be good. Yeah. We could maybe come up with some suggestions and send them to a whole list.
Yes, yeah. And this to your database.
Now, this is probably a really, really, really commonly known quote, but it's not something I don't pay much attention to other photographers, as we've well discovered.
Right.
But this quote from Ansel Adams, dodging and burning are steps to take care of mistakes God made in establishing tonal relationship.
Nice.
Which I thought was kind of cool. And that then links on to a whole documentary on his darkroom.
Oh, wow.
And how he works. So it's like it's a 45-minute long doco, and it's got Ansel Adams talking about it and how he does stuff and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Okay. Presumably this is not the same doco I linked to a couple of weeks ago.
Is it?
I don't know, dude. You only just sent me the link.
I here?
Yes, you were here.
Really?
It may very well be the same doco.
How long did it go for?
About 45 minutes.
This one goes for 6 minutes and 44 for some reason now.
Right.
I'm sure when I looked earlier today. Oh, no, there's another one here. Exclusive look into Ansel. There's a lot of exclusive looks here. An exclusive look into Ansel Adams' home and darkroom. That one goes for 17 minutes.
Right. Yeah, because the one that I had started off in his home as well.
Okay, it's not this one.
Do you not remember us talking about it? And I said it looks like somebody filmed it in a cinema.
No.
Okay, doesn't matter. Well, maybe it wasn't you. Maybe you weren't here.
I could have been away, sorry.
Could have been. Could have been one of our guests.
Or like normally, like when you're talking, yeah.
You tune out.
No, we're not when you're talking, I tune out.
Yeah. What's next?
Who's talking? What is that noise? And, amazing video I found. Totally ridiculous and dorky, and nothing's good for anything to do with us, but of this guy shooting lightning at like 7,600 frames a second.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty darn cool.
That would be awesome. I've seen some super slow-mo stuff of lightning, and it's phenomenal the way it extends through the air.
And then it comes back on itself and the weird stuff.
It's trippy.
So this guy's got some amazing videos of it, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, I'll be looking at that.
And then this is very much the last thing for me. I just thought about, after seeing this, after somebody else showed it, that it could be done.
Yeah.
Drone-mounted speed lights.
As you do.
So this guy is doing, or this girl, so woman is doing, a cannon master, a woman called Crystal Wright, is shooting this woman going over the edge of a waterfall in a kayak.
Right.
And she's got a drone-mounted speed gun off the edge of the waterfall to light her as she goes off.
Whoa.
And she's shooting as it goes down.
Wow. That's
cool. It just opens up a whole new concept of what you can do with light, doesn't it? When you can put it literally anywhere you want, you know? You imagine if you're doing like running shots.
Yeah.
And your flash is following. It's just bike shots. You know, with these guys, there's really high leaps, and you've got your drone up there above them.
Yeah.
There's just so many cool things you could do.
And it won't be long before someone takes it to the next step, which is to hang continuous video light panels off a drone and do the same thing for video.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was seriously good. The concept shoot of this woman going to the waterfall was great.
Nice.
But the possibilities of this, what you can do with extreme. When I was in Sydney last week for the Elinchrom, I met a guy called Mark Watson, who's an adventure sports photographer. He does a lot of stuff for Nitro Circus, one of those motorbike shows and stuff. But he does stuff like jumping off the edges of mountains on snowboards and photographing as they go down, all that kind of stuff. I could really imagine a great use for him with a couple of. He's done shots like on a hang glider, and then strobes attached to other hang gliders, lighting in one hang glider in the middle, sort of thing.
Right.
But I think if you could do it with drones, it'd be even easier than trying to coordinate hang gliders and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's just so much potential, I think, for doing some really cool lighting.
Nice.
So that was a few things I came across this week.
Beautiful. Well, I've just sent you an email with two images from today.
Did you?
That I've, just sort of processed in.
Oh, so I was talking. You ignored
no, I didn't process talking. Them while I you were talking. I don't zone out the way you do.
Did you do them whilst I was talking?
No. Boom, boom.
Okay. So, sheep. I'm very curious to see this. I haven't seen this. Sheep mounted cameras for Google. What is this?
This is awesome. So, what it is the people of the Faroe Islands, which are north of Scotland,
they're the guys that built the pyramids.
Took me a while. They're trying to get Google to send an official team over there to do Street View.
Yeah.
Which at this point in time, Google have not committed the resources to doing Street View of the Faroe Islands. And so what they've done is they've strapped solar panels and 360-degree action cameras to the backs of sheep, and they're sending these sheep walking all over the hills of the Faroe Islands. And they're full 360-degree video.
Oh, God.
You can actually pan the video around while the sheep is walking across the countryside.
That is awesome. Awesome.
And the solar panels are to keep the camera running.
Oh, I love it.
I love
And the hashtag, we want Google Street View.
Yeah. Oh, and it's only about a minute and a half video. It's well worth a look.
it's got to be the sort of thing that Google just latch onto and want to do it.
Oh, totally.
As a PR thing, forget the expense, simply because it's such a cool viral thing.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Absolutely. And then we got a couple of things from Rob Coates.
Yes.
Rob said, "G'day, Bruce and Glenn. Saw this article in DP Review or D Preview and thought you might be able to use it to pad out the next ep."
Don't you just love that? people are onto us, dude, to pad out the episode. It's like, all filler, no thriller. That's us. Yeah.
Man, if only you knew how much crap I cut out. I hope you're having a good break, Bruce. Regards, Rob Coates. And this article was Apple patents system for disabling cameras in photography areas. Now, that's all well and good for the iOS crowd. All us Android people will keep shooting.
No, because there's Android ones too. There's a band doing it in the US the other day. It blocks all phones.
Really?
It's not even iOS. It's not even, Apple might be patenting this,
right?
But this mob's got a system already. And this other one I saw as well.
So what technology was it using to do it?
I don't know.
Right.
Then this other one, they've got this mob where this band demanded everyone put their phones into these little pouches. So rather than putting them into security,
yeah, right,
they have these little pouches that get sealed and then unsealed again when you leave the concert at the end.
Nice.
And no one was allowed to use, not for the sake of copyright or worrying about this stuff. But they wanted people to enjoy the show.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I didn't grab the link, but I saw a story the other day of the lead singer of the, I don't know what you would call them, heavy metal, hard rock, I don't know, Slipknot.
Yes.
There was a story about him swiping the camera or the phone out of the hands of one of the people in the front of the audience and telling them, if you're going to do this, just go home.
Oh,
God. And basically saying, you know, yeah, enjoy the concert. Don't, you know, view it all through your phone.
Funny stuff.
Anyway, so thank you for that, Rob. The link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out that Apple patent. Then we get on to some stuff from Adam, the first of which was the best iPhone photographs of 2016.
Yeah, I saw those earlier today. They were so boring, I didn't bother. Yeah.
I like the first one. I like
it probably thrills Adam. But
the guy nose to nose with a hawk.
Yeah, that's the Eagle Hunters of Mongolia. It's fairly fairly common stuff, you know.
Not that you're blasé about it at all.
No. But if anyone wanted to go there, I'm looking at doing a tour there in 2018.
Nice.
If anyone's interested. Yeah. No, there are some nice shots on there. I like the fact that they've categorised them and stuff. And, yeah, so that's good. No problem with those photos.
The next one was the Master of Photography TV, I'm going to call it a reality show. I don't care if they're not classing it as a reality show. That's what it is. So basically, this is a new TV photo competition type show. So it's like MasterChef with cameras. This is going to air in Europe, I believe, with a prize pool of €150,000, so that's about $10 million Australian dollars, and 12 photographers. The show will contain 8 episodes spanning 8 weeks, and I don't know when it's actually starting. I'm sure it does tell me down the bottom, July 21st, and it'll be airing on Sky Arts. I'm assuming that's a European channel.
Adorama, the big US store, is about to launch an America's Not Next Top Model but Next Top Photographer show.
Oh, right. So similar concept, so
anyone who lives in America, they're still calling for people.
Yeah, right.
So if you live there, just got your two photos through, dude.
Oh, okay.
Love the top one. It was really nice.
Thank you. Okay. The top one being the
half body shot. It was really nice. I think it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
The next one down, I don't know. It's a little hard.
Okay.
I think her skin, because her skin's human skin, not being photoshopped to crazy to be too soft.
Mm-hmm.
The skin's got, it's quite porous, quite texturous.
Yep.
And then the post work you've done, it's made it coarser again and harder again.
Okay.
So to me, I get it. She's tattooed. Just for my taste, doesn't mean anything. I like the mood. I like the emotion of it.
Yep.
I don't really like, just as I'm looking at her left eye, right to us.
Yep.
So you can just sort of see that little bit of white between the eye.
Right.
I don't want to see a little bit of eye sticking out. I want to get all eyelash or eye open. That
right.
tiny bit kind of looks a bit weird. So if it was me and I'd shot that, I'd just clone out that little bit of white.
Okay.
and it just wouldn't distract me as much.
Okay.
But I like the mood and the emotion. I like the closeness. I like the lighting.
Thank you.
I just think the post is, mostly that's just a taste thing anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's just not quite to my taste, but nice.
Thank you. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, that's varied quite a bit from out of camera. So, you know, it was a visual aesthetic that I was going for with that.
Yeah,
As you say, it's subjective.
Yeah, no, that's also a personal taste.
All right, now we get on to Steve Peters, who sent us a whole bunch of links and stories this week. The first of which was from DIYphotography.net. And this is kind of, I guess,
I saw this story.
Little bit like the no camera phone technology. This is a anti-paparazzi scarf. And essentially, this is a scarf that has portions of it made of the same type of material as they use for safety jackets and vests that you see, you know, people working on hazardous work sites wearing. So basically, if the paparazzi are shooting with flash, which they almost always do, even during the daytime, this sort of fabric, whatever it is that that has that sort of fluorescent, you know, and highly reflective nature, will cause the auto metering system of the camera to completely shut down, so that the scarf renders perfectly exposed and everything else renders about three or four stops under. So,
well, of course, unless you're shooting a manual and they had to set up an exposure for the environment you're in.
Absolutely.
And the flash is just being a fill and helping freeze the subject a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, it's a render completely useless.
I don't think too many paparazzi would shoot that way, though.
What, in manual?
Yeah.
Well, they should.
Honestly? The amount of content they need to shoot and how fast they have to shoot it, do you really think they'd be bothering?
Dude, you're standing outside of a building, some guy walking out of a nightclub into a car. You can shoot that in manual.
Yeah.
All you can do is set the exposure for the environment. And the thing is, you're going to get far more consistent shots.
But paparazzi can never know for sure what their distance between them and their subject is going to be from one flash, second to the next.
I'm not talking about flash distance. I'm talking about camera exposure.
Yeah.
So it's got nothing to do with distance.
Well, the aperture is going to dictate how the flash illuminates the scene.
Yeah.
And if your distance from you to your subject changes, you're going to need to alter your aperture in order to compensate.
Only if they go beyond the flash's distance. If you're shooting F4, your flash has got a 50 feet distance easily, 100 ISO. So if you're more than 50 feet away from your subject, or someone coming out of a nightclub to get into a car, you're not getting the shot anyway. Because if you're not in their grill, you ain't getting the photo. I think that and their consistency of exposure would be far better if they're shooting in manual, because, you know, one guy puts a black arm up with a black jacket on, block part of the thing, the camera's going to change its exposure completely if you're an auto and stuff up everything.
Okay. In
manual.
Okay.
So fair I enough. Would say shoot manual, shoot away and get past that damn technology.
All right, the next one was from time.com, and this was how five photographers are monetizing their Instagram followings. Now, I'm not an Instagram user, and I sort of had a brief flick through this and saw some of the names of the companies that these people are shooting for, and, you know, I say good luck to them, but
if you're making a quid, you're doing all right.
Yeah. I guess it sort of highlights the changing nature of the industry.
Oh, certain aspects of it, absolutely, yep.
Yeah. So anyway, it's there for those that want to read it. Link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, give us better stuff next week, Adam.
No, this is Steve Peters.
Oh, sorry, give us better stuff next week, Steve. You too, Adam.
This one I really liked. This was a 12K time-lapse of Los Angeles shot on a 100-megapixel camera. This video goes for about 5.5 minutes. You don't need to watch all 5.5 minutes of it. You could seriously watch the first 30 seconds and you'll get the idea. What's really cool is because he's got 12K of resolution, he's doing a digital zoom in to the point where he's, you know, probably looking at 4K. I don't know. But, you know, it's obviously not having to enlarge pixels at all.
Yeah.
you know, it's simply cropping in and still giving, you know, say a 4K image, and it just looks amazing. And he's, you know, done video ramping and all sorts of stuff. It's a beautifully shot and edited piece. So, yeah, pretty cool. Thank you for that one, Steve. Next up was a thing that appeared on Craigslist, and I think this was definitely taking the mickey. Wanted professional student photographer wherever cheapskates reside. And this, when I started reading it, I thought it was for real and started to make my blood boil. And then the further and further I read through it, I'm thinking, nah, this has got to be a joke. And then, yeah, down the bottom it's, and after I've cropped your watermark off, I'll use one of those photo apps that conveniently adjust and resize photos to upload all of your photos and my uncle's photos to the same online album. But I'll be sure to make sure to say that you took the photos in the album.
If we do get divorced, though, I'll want you to immediately remove any photos of us from your portfolio.
It's a good read. Like I said, it caught me out because at first I thought it was serious, and it wasn't until I realised that it was not that I was able to calm down a bit. One from Steve.
Yeah.
This is interesting because we mentioned this in the last episode, the Huawei P9 and the Leica, co-branding thing. Huawei have released an image.
Yes.
Yeah, in relation to the marketing of the P9, and they've been very clever with the wording of the image. The catch here is that the image that they have used was taken with a Canon 5D Mark III. Well, it may very well be.
They've got a stock image from somewhere and to use for their promo, but of course it's not taken with the phone that they're advertising. And look, I could almost guarantee that happens all the time. It's just they've been caught out.
Yeah. So it said their marketing blurb says the Huawei P9's dual Leica cameras makes taking photos in low light conditions like this a pleasure. So, you know, they're not saying, hey, we took this with our camera, but just you can do something like this.
you could do something like this.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not low light. It's streaming sunshine.
Yeah, it's just backlit.
It's streaming blazing sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really consider that to be low light, frankly. Shaded, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway. David Jones sent us a story.
DJ.
Yes, about the iFi cards, the memory cards, and how they are ceasing support for some of the cards in their product range. It said iFi will soon end support for its X2 and older wireless memory cards, services, and apps, according to a notice sent to customers today. This is probably a week ago now. Citing security concerns, the company will complete the end-of-life stage on September 16, 2016, by ending server support. So if you are shooting with an iFi card, hopefully you have already been made aware of this sort of end-of-life thing. If your cards are the X2 or earlier, you may want to consider other options, maybe upgrading or whatever. So thank you for that story, David. Carl sent us one story this week. This is from Petapixel, how to build a DIY camera stabilizer using Lego. This is a 7-minute video on this guy who he had an earlier version, which apparently was a bit more complicated, but he got so much feedback and interest in how he designed it and how to, you know, could he publish plans on how to build it, that he actually sat down and looked at it and went, hey, how can I simplify this? And he's come up with this, which is essentially version 2. And it's not designed for DSLRs, people. This is for, you know, little GoPro or Hero type cameras or small, you know, compacts. Because as he says, it's not particularly heavyweight. So even moving forward quickly or a strong breeze will cause it to tilt. So, you know, it's probably best used indoors under controlled circumstances, but at least it'll, you know, It'll do the job.
Or spend $14 and buy one on eBay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he does actually say that, you know, that the cost of buying one these days is so ridiculously cheap.
I've got some update on DeHaze.
Oh, okay.
I put a photo up on Instagram to test it.
Yeah.
And I had 34 likes on this particular photo with just my basic tag, iPhone, my name and panorama.
Right.
So then I did DeHaze, put a whole bunch on there. And in the 3 hours since I did that, I got an extra 15 likes.
Wow.
And one of them.
That's a 50% increase.
And one of them is DeHaze Co. That's a start. We have a relationship now.
I wonder if they can, you know, use as an official tagline, DeHaze will give you 50% extra, you know, engagement with your Instagram. cool.
Dear, oh dear.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's it from me.
And that's it from him.
Fantastic.
Marvelous.
All right. So what do you got on for the rest of the week?
I got two workshops.
Oh.
That's not much fun.
You're going to fit your sleeping in around that.
I've just had to recover from school holidays. You know, they had Monday off as an extra day for school holidays. They went back to school for one day and they're off again today. So it hasn't been much break for me.
Right.
I've got one day to recover, and they've got so I've got a workshop tomorrow on Friday, and a workshop on Saturday, and but it's my daughter's 9th birthday, so it's only a shoot session on Saturday morning, and then her birthday part for the rest of the weekend, pretty much.
Oh,
so
cool,
yes,
awesome,
all that sort of fun,
fantastic.
And yourself, anything exciting?
Well, I'm still on annual leave, and Friday. Kath and Max and I are heading up to my mate Dave's place up in the Blue Mountains.
Yeah.
And Friday night, all day Saturday, and for a couple of hours Sunday morning, Dave and I will be recording because we're working on his 5th album.
Oh.
And Kath and Max will go and spend the day Saturday up at Katoomba having a bit of a look around.
Nice.
And then it's back to work on Monday.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's all been very interesting and exciting and lots happening.
Well, you have a fun week.
All right, mate, you too.
Goodbye, our lovely listeners.
Bye-bye. We'll talk to you next week.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.